Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast in association with Bose, a tennis-free haven for the next 15 or so minutes at least. Coming up on this week's show, no strawberries and cream for us. We'll be peering into the future. With the aid of some T3 magic, we'll be systematically destroying the 10 worst movie tie-in games ever and polishing it off with a flick through the latest T3, a quality journal you may have heard of. Plus, whatever tech morsels spill from our table of gadge, as my esteemed guest is fond of saying. I speak, of course, of T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's not just me. It's that word is spreading like wildfire. It's it's the most successful new word since, tings or something.
As in ting-tings.
Or as just in tings, generally.
Excellent.
That's the young people's way of saying things.
Yes. Now, I can't really imagine there's been anything to complain about this fine week, but no doubt you've found something, or something.
Something, yes, I have.
Is there something you'd like to unburden yourself of?
Well, yeah, a little bit, because this is me being very self-indulgent. That's what I always do in this bit. So I was in The Independent yesterday, and they were talking about...
As in the newspaper?
As in the popular newspaper. No. They came to me for an opinion, because that's how well-regarded I am. And, I talked to this guy for about 10 minutes about, the way the domain names are changing, so you can now have .microsoft rather than having to be microsoft.com or whatever. And I talked to him about various things and made a number of nuanced points, and mainly about porn, to be honest. I was saying it's very good news to the porn industry, because, you know, .xxx, .sex, but you can also have, .grannies, .donkeys, .tits. It's going to be fantastic for them.
Crazy.
Did any of this end up in the piece? No. It was a long piece where they interviewed a number of other people. And then at the end, he said, Duncan Bell of T3 says, I can't see it catching on because it takes longer to type in Microsoft.microsoft than it takes to type in Microsoft.com.
Well,
which I'm not denying that I said that, because I probably did. But it just makes me sound like a bit simple, I thought.
That was your one sole contribution.
I know,
to
exactly. Everything else I said, I swear to God, was like comedy gold and so kind of informative. And he put that.
You see, I can sympathise because I've been on the receiving end of this, but I've probably also been on the contributing end.
Yeah,
also.
I know. I'm not having a go at the journalist because, as a brother journalist, I'm the last person to knock somebody for
Anyway, and of course, the last defence of all journalists is to blame the subs. I'm sure all your insightful comments were in there, and then some. You know.
Yeah, some idiot who doesn't know anything about the subject
doesn't know a damn ting.
Because for some reason they hadn't heard of me. They made my contribution really small
and
pathetic.
Haven't they heard this podcast?
I know, exactly. Well, they probably haven't because iTunes can't get it together to get the... That's the other thing that's been bugging me this week, but I probably oughtn't to go on about that.
No. Okay. Well, before we move on, we must go back. Marty McFly style to last week when we were set the Price is Right challenge to guess the correct price of the iPhone 3G on Pay and Go. Let's just be reminded how that went.
It's Britain's brightest game show. It's The Price is Right.
So, 8 GB iPhone 3G. What do you say?
I suppose it would be about 450 quid.
450 quid. So you say 450. I say 395.
Well, I think I might be all right with 450 because of you know what it is, mate. It's rip off Britain.
So, 450 for you, 395 for me. I have an envelope here.
B45, is it?
my God. I have an envelope here with a story from T3.com posted just yesterday. Rumours are rife that the web monkeys at O2 accidentally let slip the pay-and-go price plan for the iPhone. It continues. There's no screen grab to back this up. But apparently the 8 GB and 16 GB models are to be priced £299.99 and £359.99 respectively. So £299.99. I believe I am the closest.
Well, I thought we were talking about the 16 GB one. But in that case, you do still win.
Yeah,
but to be honest, you don't want to believe anything you read on the web.
Especially T3.com.
But yeah, I mean, I usually make an exception for T3.com, but when it disagrees with my own personal... It was only a bit of fun.
Well, it's not over yet, because it's still to be confirmed.
Exactly. So, I think I'll still be proved
you may
right.
live to fight another day.
Yeah.
Okay, now, T3 is never content with just passing comment on the latest technology. We like to think we can shape our future gadgets too, and That's exactly what this month's T3 is.
We have quite literally
about.
Done that.
Quite literally. I have it in my hands. We're going to be flicking through it a bit more later. But let's concentrate on the future gadget that is within the 2010 Wii.
The 2010 Wii, yes, the Wii 2, mind-controlled, and but still with a hand controller, which...
But only one button.
Only one button.
Because
and
that connects to your brain.
Well, I think it looks a little bit like a sort of futuristic space dildo from from Planet Sex.
It does look like something you might find in the back of the newspaper advertised as a personal massager.
An executive lady, I can imagine, enjoying this Wii controller.
And just the positioning of it on the front cover...
Yes. Don't even go there in any sense.
Yeah, this may be moved to the top shelf this month. I think if you're having trouble finding T3, just look up. I think
look for the brown paper bag.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, mind control Wii. I do like that. Xbox 360 handheld.
But yeah, well, why not? yeah. No, the mind control Wii. Funnily enough, started life T3 wise anyway as an April Fool. But we've now upgraded it to...
You really think this is a goer? This isn't just
this one... Most of these, I think we could make a pretty strong case for, you know, being an obvious thing that manufacturers would do.
I suppose
the Mind Control Wii is a little more fanciful,
If someone told you a couple of years ago, you know, you'd just be waving a controller about.
Like a loon.
Like some complete idiot.
I suppose that's true. Mm. I think, when do we put the Wii? 2010. I think that's maybe a bit optimistic.
Possibly, considering that what we've seen so far of Mind Control is sort of badly played.
Well,
Pong.
Well, we've got some examples. There's Mind Ball, where you have to sit at the end of a table and relax. And if you're more relaxed than the guy at the other end of the table, and this is an actual thing... a little ball moves towards your opponent and eventually falls into a hole.
Ooh.
And
but of course, the nearer it gets,
so that's
to
a good
you,
game.
The nearer the ball gets to you, the more anxious you'll become.
Yeah, so you have to. It's like mind over matter. But apparently, it's the most tedious game that's ever been invented.
Because actually, all you get is two blissed out people with a ball sat in the middle.
Where's the fun in that?
We could try that next week.
If you were trying to be more aggressive to beat your opponent,
I'd
probably be quite good at that. But having to forcibly relax, like A, seems like a contradiction in terms. And
you mean
B,
you could relax
not
too
much fun.
Far? You could, you know, you could let your bowels go or something. You know? Would that just be an instant win or instant disqualification? I don't know.
I think it would be a win, but it'd be a Pyrrhic victory. I think.
Quite possibly. We did mention Xbox 360 handheld.
Yeah, or Zune. Well, it's kind of Zune 360.
/360.
Because we thought maybe...
/slash phone.
Yeah. Well, because Zune is like Microsoft's handheld device.
Which still isn't available here.
No, it still isn't. And nor is this, funnily enough.
Yes.
But I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to do, to make a handheld.
Yeah. And,
PSP,
and there's a pretty, picture of how it might look.
Yes, and it's a bit like an extended Zune with some buttons on it.
Good.
I just painted a vivid picture.
The
there.
Artists went wild with this one, didn't
well,
they?
Well, the guy who does this is pretty good, I think.
He's done a
that does look like a Microsoft product.
It does.
Quite dull.
He's really captured the essence, I feel.
He has. No, he's a genius.
This one's quite cool. Nokia Morph.
Oh, this is my favourite.
Yeah.
And this one, Nokia are pushing this, because this one we didn't... wasn't entirely our invention. This one has a grain of truth about it. They all have more than a grain of truth about them.
Okay.
One person's truth is another person's made-up load of old nonsense.
Yes.
And who are we to say that... this is like uses nanotechnology, so it can change shape.
Yeah,
and,
clay.
Yes, living clay. I came up with that phrase.
Sounds nasty.
And it's a bit like a sort of Star Trek tricorder, as far as I can tell, in that it does absolutely everything and nobody
can understand how it works.
Hold
on, every futuristic phone is described as a Star Trek. The StarTAC was described as a...
Yeah, but this one does monitor the atmosphere, which is what a tricorder did, as I recall. And I don't know, it detects nearby...
Is that even useful?
...aliens. It'll become more useful as our world becomes ever more choked with pollutement.
So really, this is sort of a comment on where we are now
exactly.
And where we're going.
I know, like this woman with orange hair who's modelling it.
I notice it's green.
Yes, that's clever.
Very green, which is probably only just to sort of go against her orange hair. I don't think I would be walking around with a great big bright green
Not at the moment, but then you see nanotech, I think, has a tendency to be grey or green, doesn't it? Because of the way it...
Oh, I see.
Self-replicates.
Is it photofluoresce or something?
It does photofluoresce. That is correct. Well done. Did you just read that off
the
page?
I didn't, actually.
No, that is something.
But
is
I just guessed
one of its,
if it's green,
features.
That's probably what it does.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, yes, it'll harvest solar energy.
So it's got a solar cell in it. Remarkably, it in a slightly less poncy way.
Plants have been doing this for millions of years, but there we go. Okay.
Who walks around with a plant on their wrist talking to it?
Quite. Well, you can see a bit of a preview of these on t3.com or go out and buy the mag and get them in glorious 300 DPI.
Put them on your coffee table. People will be impressed.
Exactly.
Apart from with the Meet Miss July advert, which is halfway through it, which is for a computer game, which I think sets back women's rights about 300 years.
That possibly does, actually. Yes. Yeah, quite sexist. Quite shameful. Sexist. Now, there's nothing more certain of turkey status than a film of the game. Tomb Raider, Mario Brothers, I could go on. But what about the game of the film? A money-spinning spin-off. I think that makes sense. If ever there was. There have been
slick.
There have been plenty of classics, but T3.com has compiled the absolute 10 worst. Mm. Did you have anything to do with this list, Duncan?
No, I didn't, but I approved.
Oh, good. Okay, you signed it off.
Yeah.
Is that what you do? Lays at your desk and then casually glance over things, sign them off as they come.
That's not working. You're fired. Mm. That's the kind of thing I do all day.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, there are some gems. Back to the Future on the NES from 1989. Dodging Milkshake in a Diner. Yep. Possibly its finest moment.
Just like in the film.
Just like in the film, yes. But was that... I mean, I can see the gem of the minigame developing here from a Nintendo perspective. Because it starts off with a kind of normal platformy thing and then suddenly you're dodging milkshakes for no apparent reason.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it. Or another way you could look at it is the game manufacturer couldn't come up with a strong enough idea to sustain itself over the course of, you know, an hour or so's play. So they threw in lots of stupid
random
nonsense
stuff
to take people's mind off of that. Mm. A more cynical person might say.
They might. Superman Returns, the video game from 2006.
All Superman games are rubbish and... That's for a very obvious reason. It's very hard to have a game that's any fun where basically the main protagonist cannot be killed.
Yeah, if you can do anything.
Exactly. Then when you try and do anything, it turns out you can't do anything because the game is so limiting straight away. Unless somebody can actually simulate being Superman.
Yeah.
Like a kind of sandbox type Superman experience,
which would be
great.
I do like the end of game boss in this.
What is it?
A menacing... Tornado.
Oh, yeah. Tornado. You have to kind of... I don't know what you do about that.
I don't know. It's probably
put up a bit of a windbreak.
It's probably a nuclear tornado or something.
It probably is.
Mm. it sort of mutilates everything in its path. also The Matrix, Path of Neo, 2005. The verdict on this, graphically as impressive as a painted mule.
Yeah, and you'd think if anything was going to come up, it was going to produce a decent game spin-off, it would be The Matrix.
It cried
out. But you'd be wrong.
Yeah.
But then again, you'd think it would produce decent sequels as well, and that turned out to be a pipe dream. So.
Oh, well. But there could only be one winner. That was Street Fighter the Movie.
The game.
Arcade, yes, from 1995.
Yeah, I got really confused reading that, because I thought they'd suddenly gone off onto... Oh, this is a terrible film based on a game.
No, it was...
But it's a terrible game based on a terrible film based on a pretty good game.
Yes.
Which is an unusual genesis.
Yes. Well, let's hear a bit of the film that inspired that piece of gaming tripe.
Oh, yes. Mm.
As it were, Colonel.
What a surprise. Welcome to the Shadaloo front. You're just in time for the kickoff.
I'm afraid not, Colonel. The Security Council has just voted. They've decided to negotiate.
You're joking.
We think we can deal with General Bison. You're instructed to call off the assault, contact him, request an extension of his deadline. We're prepared to pay the ransom demand.
$20 billion? What will prevent him from taking more hostages next month and asking for $50 billion? $100 billion?
Colonel, have you lost your mind?
No. You've lost your balls.
Ouch.
Faced.
Ah, yes. Van Damme at his acting finest there.
What's up for asking for 100 billion?
I like the fact as well that the villain is, of course, a well-spoken Englishman.
Milksop English girly man.
Yes. Well, that's the film. Actually, it sounds... It's one of those, it sounds so bad, it's probably quite good.
No, I've seen it, and it's so bad, it's bad.
Oh.
But Raul Julia played General Bison, or M. Bison, as he's for some reason called in the games, and died shortly afterwards, I think of shame.
Oh, dear. Well, let's find out a bit more about the game of the film of the game from our special guest, Mr. Sycophant. That's Sycophant, in case you were wondering. Just... Listen out before I play this for the entirely gratuitous burp at the end.
How you doing, everybody? This is Sycophant. I've got a real special treat for you today. I'll be giving you a preview of a review that I'm going to do on Street Fighter the movie. Quite possibly one of the worst arcade games ever. I'm sure many of you would concur.
Now that's slick.
Couldn't you have edited that out? You know?
I know, well, yes. He's not got a great voice for radio.
No, not especially. But I do think that's set things up nicely. We'll skip forward. He's playing Guile, playing as Guile, I should say. He's already dismissed the graphics, which look like a straight rip from Mortal Kombat to me, and also the gameplay. I'm not sure exactly what's left, but this is what he thinks of... This is what he thinks of Ken.
Now this guy, honest to God, just look at him. What a f***ing pipsqueaker. Where the f*** did they get this guy? I mean, you can't tell me that they couldn't have found somebody better for the movie. Look at this guy. No muscle mass at all. I mean, it's not like he was a great actor either. I mean, there had to have been somebody in Hollywood that had more muscle than this guy. Christ.
I don't think Christ was available, unfortunately.
Hey. Muscular Christianity. I bet, ironically, I suspect that Mr. Sicko Fant is perhaps not himself a gleaming Adonis of a man. But I could be wrong.
They could have just, yeah, put him in. I'm sure he has plenty of muscle mass.
I'll totally kick your ass.
Well, that's bad gameplay, bad graphics, and the characters are terrible too.
But that's just nitpicking.
Yes. We're just, going around the edges here. I'm not sure there is more you can add. So let's just get his final verdict.
I'm done with this game, period. The game over screen is the best screen in that game. It means you don't have to play it anymore.
There we go. Something positive to end on.
That's them told. He slew them with his Wildian world play.
Did you ever play this?
No, I'd never even heard of it. That's why I was confused when I read the piece.
Exactly.
I thought they'd have E.T. at number one, because that bankrupted Atari, famously, and they had to bury a million cartridges in under the Arizona desert or something. Mm. So
harsh.
That's pretty bad.
That's an epic fail.
It is. Well, that was the classic thing of, like, you had to guide E.T. around picking up little pixely things. Which wasn't really a big element of the film. I think people were disappointed.
Ever so slightly. Street Fighter of the movie, the game, it basically looks like they took it and went, let's make it like Mortal Kombat, but not as good.
Yeah, why not? Because Mortal Kombat was so good. That's the other thing. It's like, if you're gonna blatantly rip off a game, rip off a game that isn't rubbish. The only good thing about Mortal Kombat was you could rip people's spines out.
Yeah, and you can't do that in this, so...
It's
rubbish. But what about, the originals were good, weren't they? Street Fighter 2.
I know, I like the irony of that.
That was just button-bashing marvellousness.
Yeah, I mean, I can't play it, but people who are aficionados of such things still consider the Street Fighter series
to be
the
best. There are two ways to play it. Either you learn all the combinations and become a Street Fighter meister.
Either you're a complete loser.
Or you just approach it having never played it and hit all the buttons.
And
what's marvellous about it is that either way, both of you can win on that those tactics.
Yeah, I quite like the epileptic octopus approach.
Yeah, works myself. Every time.
It is annoying playing against people who really can play it and sort of mow you down with a hail of sort of fireballs.
I'm
and
just
things,
looking through the glass. I think producer sweep. Chris was just gesticulating in a manner of bashing Street Fighter buttons. I think that's what he was doing. Anyway, that is enough of that. You appear to be clutching a new issue of T3.
I am. We were talking about it earlier. And do you want some highlights from this week's T3?
If you can rustle some up.
I think there's loads of great things in this. There's,
tell me, what are the great things?
There's a quick rundown of the best light guns of all time. There's great ways to pass the time whilst in the office.
Hold on, I've just let this flop open on my lap.
And remote control planes.
And remote control planes have appeared, including a blimp. I'm sold already. The Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, the blimp.
£40.
We had the blimp in a few months ago, and I used the headline "Blimp Iskit."
Mm.
I don't think anybody in the country understood that joke, but I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah, so I do get it.
Yeah, it was like a Spitfire and a Fokker. Boy, did we have a laugh with that.
Yes.
They were really nice. And then things to pass the time in the office. There's R2-D2 translator. Do you know that one? You type in any phrase and it translates into R2-D2-E's. So it can...
That will be featuring on the podcast next week, I sense.
Yeah, well, I suppose it sits there sort of burbling away and only you know it's saying, rude things about the boss's mum.
Ooh. Unless, of course, he's got a translator himself that can...
Unless he himself is a robot, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, rumours are rife on that.
And what else is there? Oh, yeah, yeah, this is my favourite one, Rave Generator. I don't know why I said that like that. Rave Generator.
Rave Generator.
That allows you... it's got a couple of... well, a number of preset sort of musical bits, which you turn on and off to basically create your own 1992-style Acid House hardcore rave track. And the best thing about it... No, it's but it's got stabs like that. It's got, you know, like you press a button, it goes, you know, put your hands in the air. Well, it's more sort of breakbeaty, so it's more sort of... And it's even like it. All
is there
the
also
tunes
a
make,
random woman singing?
Yeah, yeah. Take me higher. There's lots of that sort of thing. And all the tunes you can make on it sound slightly out of time and out of tune. But that actually is quite realistic, because
yeah,
most of those tunes
that's
were.
That's how it really was.
That's oh god, yeah, that took me back.
Sounds splendid. Well, that's just about it. Time only for your
quickfire.
Time only for your quickfire reactions to this week's last words. Dell's new studio laptops.
Which ones are they? Are they the expensive ones?
No, they're kind of mid-range. They're slotting neatly between the Inspiron and the XPS, with an added design factor.
Okay. Yes, Dell doing designer. That's good.
Yeah. BenQ E72.
Yeah, back from the grave. I thought BenQ had given up on such things.
Yeah, they sort of took over Siemens and then disappeared, and now they're here.
It's mysterious. Although, Doctor Who uses a BenQ Siemens phone.
Oh, I noticed
a couple of episodes ago. It's a terrible phone. Like he travels all of time and space, and he ends up with a, I think it was called an E90. No, it was a Nokia phone. Anyway, he's got, if you look out for it, it's Siemens phone, and it's not very good.
Anyway, it's an exclusive to BT, whatever their dual phony thing is.
Lucky them.
Mm. Sanyo's weatherproof, I should say, TV.
Yeah, useful for the British summer.
Yep. And mini Pure One DAB radio. It's like a...
I can't think of anything to say.
It's like
that.
A Pure One, but smaller.
Yeah, that's the exact...
That's it.
Okay. That's what it says on the tin.
Well, our Street Fighter plot generator has you forever searching the globe for your mutilated friend, Blanka, while seeing off poorly animated foes in a 2D universe. Blimey. Well, this is all we have time for. Don't forget to check out this month's T3 and find all the latest on T3.com, where you can also spot us. Just look for the Bose logo and click on subscribe. It's the right thing to do, remember. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.